This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasleeman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. After speaking about the trees of Jannah, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he goes on to discuss the fruits, the types of fruits, etc. Though we had a bit of a discussion about that last time, but this is specifically about all the verses and some of the narrations that speak about the fruits. This will then be followed by a discussion on any other types of plants and growth in Jannah. So we're going to just be looking at the fruits here, inshallah. There's quite a few verses that speak about fruit. Fruit is mentioned quite often. And I think one of the reasons is that fruit, especially good fruit, which in Jannah, it's all going to be good, right? No spoiled fruit. It's all going to be perfect. What happens in this world is that you go to get some fruit and you buy a watermelon, for example. You open it up, mashallah, maybe you say bismillah and you open it up. You cut it up and subhanallah, it's like paradise. It's just so wonderful. So you go back and after that you want to buy another one next week. And you open that up and you're obviously comparing. And the second one just doesn't turn out as good as the first one. You know, so many things can be wrong with a watermelon that would make it non-ideal. Sometimes a bit too spongy, sometimes overdone, and sometimes it's underdone. Sometimes it's just, as I said, too spongy and it tastes a bit, it doesn't taste right. So, especially with the watermelon, you have to be, you know, you can't look inside. So it's always going to be a risk that you take, but we take it because we are looking for the ideal watermelon. In Jannah, it's never going to be an issue. It's always going to be wonderful fruit. So that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, Surah Al-Baqarah. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wabashshiril ladhina amanu wa amilu ssalihati anna lahum jannatin tajri min tahtiha al-anhaar. كلما رزقوا منها من ثمرة رزقا قالوا هذا الذي رزقنا من قبل وأتوا به متشابها. So to translate what Allah says, He says, give glad tidings to those people who believe and do good deeds. Who do good deeds that for them is For them are gardens, jannat. For them are gardens beneath which rivers flow. Every time they will be provided or fed by, sustained by fruits as a means of sustenance. Rizqan. Rizq is what sustains you. Every time they will be provided with fruits as sustenance, qalu, they will say, this is what we have been sustained with before. This is what we had been given before. وَأُتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهَا. I'm going to do a basic translation, then I'll go into greater depth about the possibilities of the meanings here. وَأُتُوا بِهَا مُتَشَابِهَا. And they will be brought these fruits similar to, maybe, you know, they will be similar. One will be like the other. They will be comparative to each other in some senses. Now, what I'm maybe looking at here is that since there is such a big discussion about fruit in the Quran, meat is mentioned, especially what's mentioned is actually ziyadatu kabid al-hut, the additional part of a fish's liver. That's what's mentioned. And a few other things are mentioned. However, what is generally always mentioned, along with the lakes, along with the water and the trees, is the fruit. So, and here it's saying, رُزِقُوا مِنْهَا مِنْ ثَمَرَةٍ رِزْقًا. Rizqan, as rizq, as a sustenance. Does that mean that will be maybe our main source of sustenance there? Because it's enjoyable. Of course, you can have whatever curries you want. you know, whatever mixed grills that you want, right? And whatever you wish, I'm sure you'll get it. But it seems like fruit is going to be a choice. It's going to be a good choice. It's going to be a food of choice, like the main staple, it seems, because it's just so much variance in the fruit, and it's natural. Right? It doesn't require any killing of any sort. It's just very simple. Subhanallah. Anyway, this statement here by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, هَذَا الَّذِي رُزِقْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِ. This is what we have been given before. What does before mean? Are they going to be speaking about this? They've had some fruit in Jannah, and then when they get it again, they're going to say, oh, this is similar to what we had last week or a few days ago. Or does min qabl refer to, this is similar to what we had in the world? Now, it's not mentioned whether this is referring to the world or Jannah. It just mentions that they will say, we were provided this before. Now, among the mufassirin, there are two opinions about this. Some very strongly say this is referring to in Jannah, because there can be no comparison to the fruits of this world. So this is speaking about people later on, after having tried fruits for several days or whatever, this will be one of their expressions. This will be one thing that they will mention. They're not going to say this every time they get a fruit. Oh, we've had this before. They're not going to say that. You know, as normally, when you've had something once, twice, three times, say, oh, we've had this one before. It's a statement of sorts. Others say no, that there has, that this is how do you specify that is what Allah is saying, because He's saying it generally. So if a person every time he gets fruit in Jannah, right, has to say we've had this before, what about the first time he's not had it before? So how can that be referring to fruit again in Jannah? He must be referring to fruit in the world, because Allah will give you things down there that you're used to, but of course the characteristic and the nature of it will be different, though an apple is an apple. But it's a different type of apple in terms of size and color and juiciness and taste and everything else in Jannah. Though you'll say, hey, that's an apple. I've had this before. I've tried these pink ladies before. Pink lady apples, by the way. Right. Says that, هَذَا الَّذِي رُزِقْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِ. It means that this will be similar. This is similar to what I've seen before. Of course, it's not the same thing. It's going to be totally different. So according to the tafsir of Suddi, he relates from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, from Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, and other companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said, this, هَذَا الَّذِي رُزِقْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِ, we've had it before, refers to that which they would have been given in Jannah. So this is a statement they're making later on. No, sorry. They're the ones who are saying that this refers to remembrance of the same fruit in the world. هَذَا الَّذِي رُزِقْنَا مِنْ قَبْلُ فِي الدُّنْيَا. We used to have this in the dunya. Number of people say the same thing. Ibn Zayd and number of others. The others, they say, no, this is actually just referring to all in Jannah. They're not going to compare it with the world at all. This is talking about Jannah. But the reason why they're saying that this is similar to it is because they will all look very similar in terms of its color and taste. But they will be different when they actually have it. The reason they give for their opinion that this is all about Jannah, comparing fruits of Jannah, is because the comparison of a fruit of Jannah to the fruit of this world is too different. You can't compare the two. They're very different. So how would they say this is like that? This is, oh, we've had this in Jannah before. This is in Jannah again. So that's what they're going to say, because it seems so similar. Another thing that Ibn Jarir relates is that in Jannah, every fruit that you pick, another one will appear in its place immediately. So they will never decrease. Every time you pick a fruit, it will appear. This is related from Abu Ubaidah. He says, كُلَّمَا نُزِعَ الثَّمَرَةَ عَادَتْ مَكَانَهَا أُخْرَى. Another one will come in its place. The other thing is that all the fruits in Jannah, clearly many people are not going to have tasted all of the fruits.
that are going to be available in Jannah, they wouldn't have tasted it in the world. So how could they say this is comparing to the ones in the world? They must be referring to it having tasted it in Jannah. For example, have any of you tasted yellow watermelon or even seen it? Most watermelon we open today is red inside. Have you ever seen a yellow one? No? Okay, I have. So imagine we get that in Jannah and say, we're not going to say this is the same. Oh, this is different. So that's what they're saying. If you go to Harrods, you'll get them. I know they were there at one time. Right? Who's tasted a dragon fruit? Anybody tasted a dragon fruit? Have you ever seen one? Right? Very red from inside. Outside it's kind of got these big prickles. They're not very prickly, but they're soft prickles outside. So, never seen one. You'll see one in Jannah. How many of you have tasted a sweet passion fruit? How many of you tasted a passion fruit? Is it sour or sweet? Passion fruit is generally the small purple ones. They're generally sour because they are the sour variety which you generally get. Sometimes if you're lucky, you find the larger ones, they're yellow. Those are sweet inside. Same thing, but it's larger and it's sweet inside. So again, there are so many fruits out there. There are so many fruits out there that many people would not have tasted. Would not have tasted, even seen, even thought about, even known to have existed. So how could they say the same thing? لِأَنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا لَا يَرَوْنَ لَا يَعْرِفُونَ ثِمَارَ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا رَأَوْهَا. They've never seen it before. However, as I mentioned, the other people, they say that how can this be referring to people in Jannah? Are they going to say it each time? How do you specify that? And obviously, they're probably referring to, it has to be referring to those of the world. And they've got their own reasons anyway. Okay, so after moving on from there, وَأُتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهَا. And they will be brought these mutashabiha, and they will be similar. In a similar form that they will be brought. What does that mean exactly? Hassan al-Basri, he says, خِيَارٌ كُلُّهُ لَا رَضْلَ فِيهِ. What this means, أُتُوبِهِ مُتَشَابِهَا, meaning they will always be brought alike. What that means is, خِيَارٌ كُلُّهُ, they will always be perfect. The fruit will always be sound. There will never be any defective fruit in there. There will never be any inferior grade of fruit inside. Now, if you look at the world fruit, even though, subhanAllah, even though our supermarkets in this country, because they have the income to do this, right, they insist on the best fruits from the farmers. Anything that is a bit curved or twisted or whatever the case is, they won't accept it. Have you ever seen a defective apple? If you go to markets, farmer markets, you'll see them. But in supermarkets, you'll never see it. I think probably the most defective fruit that you will see, the fruit that you will see that has the most crookedness in all the fruit that you can eat is probably a pear. Because pears are crooked the way they are. But they're never too crooked. There's always a specific kind of shape. Otherwise, apples, you never see it. Oranges, you never see the weird oranges. However, they can't control the inside, can they? Sometimes you buy grapes, very good. They are crispy. They are sweet, and other times it's not the same. Likewise, strawberries and raspberries and things of that nature. Sometimes they're very sweet, sometimes they have no taste whatsoever. They just can't control that, can they? So in Jannah, all of that, the quality control will be perfect. The right kind of fertilizer has been used. In many companies you have an R&D faculty. Research and development. So the research and development, it's all done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Master development. No research needed, right? It's just master development. So the fertilizer being used, the growth, that you're talking about in this country, they've made farms into industrial farms, where it's like a factory. Literally, they did teach it, they treat it like there's no humanity at all. The way they treat the animals and so on. where they're just trying to feed them and let them grow as fast as possible so they could just churn these things out. Likewise, they're trying to do with different types of fertilizers and hormones and everything like this. It's a good job that Europe is a lot more considerate and careful about this than America is, for example. But the whole purpose is to produce the most ideal fruit and to do it in a way that it doesn't rot, it comes out in the right way. And subhanAllah, in Jannah it's like that. You pluck one, there'll be another one there straight away. And everyone will be perfect. See, a lot of things in this time and age is being revealed to show us what the verses and the hadith have been telling us for basically for centuries. You see, a friend of mine just went to a security and surveillance kind of conference where they're showing you all the latest technology in terms of cameras and security. Right? So security, he does buildings and things, so it's about security. SubhanAllah, you have cameras now that see infrared in the night. It's completely dark. You have facial recognition. You have cameras that are 170 miles an hour, apparently. They can pick out license plates. At 170 miles an hour, they can still capture your... can you imagine how fast that is? 170 miles an hour, something's going past, and they can capture that. Right? You know, basically, you can program your gates with certain number plates. So every time that particular car with that number plate comes along, the gate will automatically open. That's understandable. It's at 5 miles an hour, 10 miles an hour. We're talking about catching things at 170 miles an hour. We're talking about uploading certain profiles, inputting certain profiles into the system, and that camera or a series of cameras will then automatically follow that particular object wherever it goes. SubhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you that with you there are angels all the time. Everything you do is being noted. Everything that you do is being noted. And technology today is going in that direction, showing us how these things are not far-fetched. They are absolute possibilities. Can you imagine that? So based on this reading so far, it means that all the fruit will be perfect and similar in terms of quality, and there will be no inferior quality. Another group, they say, among this second group is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Abbas, and some other Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They're saying, "Mutashabihan fil lawni wal mar'a," though they will be similar in terms of the color and the appearance, but laysa yushbihu ta'mu ta'm. The flavor will not be the same, the taste will be different. So although each of the fruits that you see will all look similar, and you think, 100 fruit on this tree? They're all the same? You pick one, it'll be a different flavor. You pick another one, it'll be a different flavor. And as I said, I don't think it's even far-fetched that you get a different pleasure, sensory pleasure in every bite that you take. I don't think that's even far-fetched. That's why Anas radiallahu anhu, or actually Ar-Rabi ibn Anas, he says, he relates from Yahya ibn Abi Kathir, that the grass of Jannah is going to be za'afran. So za'afran, subhanAllah, here 1 gram costs 5 pounds. Right? Za'afran, 1 gram, you know, costs so much money. It is very strong. I remember a story about za'afran. I had a friend of ours in South Africa who's passed away now. May Allah have mercy on him. He used to have a very nice lawn. He used to have a very beautiful lawn outside his house. So there was a person who lived down the road who was not the brightest person. Right? He wasn't the brightest person. So he's going past every day. He says to him, "Ismail bhai, how'd you get your lawn to be so nice, so green? It's just so nice." So Ismail bhai, he says, "You know what I do? I get za'afran, I mix it in a bucket of water, and then I water this with that water of za'afran." He's just joking with him. And the person went and started doing this, and then he got very, very angry when he was told that it was a joke. So Zafran is very valuable, but there, mashallah, you know, you got all the grass there, you know, the hay, it's all over, it's just Zafran, loads of it. وَكُثْبَانُهَا الْمِسْكِ. And then you've got mounds of musk. The way it's going to be, all design is going to be perfect. It's not like, oh, it's just going to be thrown around. You know, when people, even in this world, when they design these things, it's done in a very artistic way. And with Allah, it's obviously. وَيَتُوفُ عَلَيْهِمْ الْوِلْدَانُ بِالْفَاكِهَةِ. And the children will come around serving them fruits. They will eat them. Then they will come again. ثُمَّ يَأْتُونَهَا بِمِثْلِهَا. Then they will come again with some fruits that are similar. فَيَقُولُونَ. And the people will say, you just brought these to us before. Just now you had the same fruit. فَيَقُولْ لَهُمُ الْخَدَمْ كُلُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّوْنْ وَاحِدْ وَالطَّعِمْ مُخْتَلِفْ. Says, no. Eat these, try these ones. They look the same, but the taste is different. And that is what Allah says, كُلَّمَا رُزِقُوا مِنْهَا مِنْ ثَمَرَةٍ رِزْقًا قَالُوا هَذَا الَّذِي رُزِقْنَا مِنْ قَبْلٍ وَأُتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهًا. Exactly what we've been discussing until now. That's why Abdurrahman ibn Zayd says that people will recognize the fruits that they used to have in the world. تُفَّاهُ بِالتُفَّاهُ الرُّمَّانُ بِالرُّمَّانُ. Apple for apple and pomegranate for pomegranate. And then they will say, hey, you know, so that's there, that possibility is there as well. Then there's a number of, as I said, there's a number of verses. Now, what are the other verses that speak about fruit? Another one is in Sad, Surah Sad. جَنَّاتُ عَدْنٍ مُفَتَّحَةً لَهُمُ الْأَبْوَابِ. These are the gardens of Eden. Doors will be clearly opened up for them. مُتَّكِئِينَ فِيهَا. They will be reclining therein. يَدْعُونَ فِيهَا بِفَاكِهَا. They will order the fruit. You don't have to go to a restaurant to do it. Or the market. يَدْعُونَ فِيهَا بِفَاكِهَا. They will order their fruit. فَاكِهَةٍ كَثِيرَةٍ. On the menu, subhanAllah, as many fruit as you want. Whatever is available. وَشَرَاب. And then various types of drink. That's in Sad. Surah Al-Dukhan, Allah says, يَدْعُونَ فِيهَا بِكُلِّ فَاكِهَةٍ آمِنِينَ. They will call for all types of fruit in there. Aminin, completely safe. Safe that you can eat as much as you want. Don't worry about any of them having too much of a laxative effect. You know, there are certain fruits you eat, they're too cold for you. You end up getting a cold. Eat too many lychees, they say it has a cold effect. And thus the next day you've got a cold, right? Or you have certain fruits like dates and it's too hot for you and you're bleeding and your nose is bleeding the next day for some people, right? That's why the Prophet ﷺ used to always mix the two. He used to take the dates and along with cucumber or coconut works as well. Coconut is supposed to have a cooling effect. So all of these things that are very interesting. And it's kind of ajeeb. They say that the coconut is cooling, but the coconut water is heating. It's warm. It's that has heat inside. It's really strange, all of these things, the way they work. It's the way they react to your body. So they will call out for fruit. So none of these fruits, you'll always be pleased with what you have. None of it will have any kind of weird effect. They will all be perfectly moderated. Perfectly moderated. Then Allah says in Surah Az-Zukhruf, وَتِلْكَ الْجَنَّةُ الَّتِي أُورِثْتُمُوهَا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ لَكُمْ فِيهَا فَاكِهَةٌ كَثِيرَةٌ مِنْهَا تَأْكُلُونَ. That is the garden that you have been, that you have inherited based on what you used to do. For you in there is abundant fruit. Again, fruit is mentioned. From it you will eat. It looks like the staple of Jannah is going to be fruit. Again, Allah says in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, وَفَاكِهَةٍ كَثِيرَةٍ لا مقطوعة ولا ممنوعة. Abundant fruit again. لا مقطوعة ولا ممنوعة. You'll never be prevented from them. None of it will ever go out of season. None of it will be bad for you, and thus you'll be told you have to abstain. Don't eat this, don't eat that. Allah says in Surah Al-Haqqa again, فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ فِي جَنَّةٍ عَالِيَةٍ قُطُوفُهَا دَانِيَةٍ. He will be in a joyful state of existence, full of joy and bliss, in these lofty gardens, قُطُوفُهَا دَانِيَةٍ, whose branches will be close, readily available for you to take from. So again, you've got this concept of something coming off a tree. That's why Allah says again, Surah Al-Insan, وَدَانِيَةً عَلَيْهِمْ ظِلَالُهَا وَذُلِّلَتْ قُطُوفُهَا تَذْلِيلًا. That's in Surah Al-Insan. The shade will be upon them, and the branches will be brought low for them so that they can take from it. So again, you've got a concept of branches again. That's why Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says that whenever a person will intend or desire to eat any of the fruit, the branch will just hang down and he will take whatever he wants. Nobody has to prepare it for you. It's directly, you will have this coming from the tree itself. Then in Surah Ar-Rahman again, right? So again, see how many verses there are on this. Surah Ar-Rahman, Allah says, فِيهِمَا مِن كُلِّ فَاكِهَةٍ زَوْجَانٍ. That's the first set of paradise. The other set of paradise, it talks about two sets of paradise, right? Two different gardens for those places who are people who are very, very close, the forerunners, and then for the other people who are secondary, who come after them, the people who do righteousness. So for the first one, it says, for them in it will be fruit. Every fruit, two types of every fruit, a pair of every fruit. And in the other two gardens, فِيهِمَا فَاكِهَةٌ وَنَخْلٌ وَرُمَّانٌ. It specifies, it says that in it will be fruits for them, nakhl and rumman. That's the palm, which is generally the date palm and the pomegranate. The date palm and the pomegranate. The reason why those two have been mentioned, and in Surah An-Naba, it mentions the grape. So you've got the grape, the pomegranate, and the date. The date, the grape, and the pomegranate, and then you've got the fig mentioned as well, right? And the olive, I don't know how you classify that as a fruit or what, but you've got the... But specifically about Jannah, you've got this. Because these are some of the best fruits in the world. When you get good grapes, that they're amazing. Good dates are amazing in terms of both its nutritional and everything inside. Surah Muhammad, Allah says, وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا مِن كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. For them in it will be all types of fruit and forgiveness from their Lord. So I don't think there's any escaping of fruit. Anybody who has a problem with fruit has a problem with that. That's why it's related from Thawban radiallahu anhu. Tabarani relates this from Thawban radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الرَّجُلْ إِذَا نَزَعَ ثَمَرَةً مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ عَادَتْ مَكَانَهَا أُخْرَى. Whenever a person picks any fruit from any tree, then there will be another one that will come in its place. Abdullah, the son of Imam Ahmad, he relates this narration from Zuhair, from Abu Musa radiallahu anhu, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused Adam alayhi salam to come down from Jannah. He then allamahu sana'ata kulli shay. He taught him how to manufacture everything, how to make everything. وَزَوَّدَهُ مِنْ ثِمَارِ الْجَنَّةِ. And he also gave him provisions as some of the fruits of Jannah. فَثِمَارُكُمْ هَذِهِ مِنْ ثِمَارِ الْجَنَّةِ. The fruits that you have here, they are all from the fruits of Jannah. غَيْرَ أَنَّهَا تَغَيِّرُ. The only problem is because of the nature of this world, and it's not forever, they do change and they do perish. Everything perishes in this world. Whereas in Jannah, nothing perishes. That's why fruits stay as well. وَتِلْكَ لَا تَغَيَّرُ. And Jannah, nothing happens to it. And likewise, there's another hadith related from Jabir radiallahu anhu that once, while we were in Salatul Dhuhr, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is there leading the prayer. Suddenly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam moves a bit forward. And then he grabs onto something, or he tries, it seems like he's trying to hold something, take something. Then he moves back. So he probably took a little movement forward, tried to grab something, came back. Because the masjid wasn't that big, he wouldn't really be standing too much further away from the wall, right? Because the Masjid Nabawi was small. So he wouldn't be standing like miles away. It's probably like here where he's standing. So he tried to grab something in the Qibla wall, by the Qibla wall or something. Then he took a step back. When he finished the prayer, Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu says, Ya Rasulallah, sana'ta al-yawma fi salati shay, ma kunta tasna'uhu. You did something in salat today that you don't generally do. He said, yes, what happened is, paradise was presented in front of me. And all of its adornment and all of its resplendence and glory was presented in front of me. So I tried to take hold of one of the branches of grapes. I tried to take one of the cluster of grapes from there so that I could la'atikum bihi, so I could bring it to you. But fahila baini wa bainahu, right? Something came in between, prevented me. You can't take it. You're not allowed, right? It's not. If I did bring it to you, if I was able to take it and give it to you, then whoever is between the heavens and earth would have been able to eat from here, and it would not have decreased it. Because if it's from Jannah, it's never going to end. How? Allah knows best, but it's just endless. That's why Sa'id ibn Mansur relates from Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu, إِنَّ أَهْلَ الْجَنَّةِ يَأْكُلُونَ مِنْ ثِمَارِ الْجَنَّةِ قِيَامًا وَكُعُودًا وَمُطَّجِعِينَ عَلَىٰ أَيِّ حَالٍ شَاءُ. The people of Jannah, they will eat the fruits of Jannah standing, sitting, and lying down in any state that they want. Basically, you can eat as you like down there, because your main staple seems to be fruits. Okay, so this next section now is about the crops of Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَفِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِ الْأَنفُسُ وَتَلَذُّ الْأَعْيُنُ. In it will be whatever the soul's desire, whatever the self desires, and whatever the eye and visions find any kind of pleasure in. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was one day relating to us. And there was one of the Bedouins who was sitting with him. رجل من أهل البادية. He was sitting there. So the Prophet ﷺ was saying that a person of Jannah will ask his Lord, can he do some growing, some farming of some sort? So Allah will tell him, أَوَلَسْتَ فِي مَشْتَهَيْتِ. Like, don't you have whatever you desire? Like, you've got everything ready for you. Why would you want to grow something? Why do you want to toil and make the effort? You've got everything. It's all grown, ready. You can have it. فَقَالَ بَلَىٰ. No, of course. Of course I have everything. But أُحِبُّ أَنْ أَزْرَىٰ. I want to just do some farming. Remember the old days. I just want to do some farming. I've got all this energy again. Now maybe when he died, he was old. Now he feels like, I've got my youthful vigor, 33 years old. I've got all that energy. I can take on this many people at once. So let me go and do some farming. He will go and he will put the seeds in. And the growing will be faster than a blink of an eye. It will start growing. Growing, standing up on its stems, and then cutting it and dealing with the whole aftermath of it. And then all of that, it'll be a big mountain load of it. Straight away, he'll get all of that done. Like massive, fast production. Right? Essentially, that's what people are trying to do. They're trying to create paradise in this world. All of this that's being mentioned, even without realizing this, many of these people, they've never read these ahadith, all of these big industrialists, these big agro businesses. They've never read any of this. But that's what they're trying to do, isn't it? In perception, like humans' final objective and goal, ambition. And Allah is telling us, you'll get all of this in Jannah. Just focus on trying to get to Jannah. Subhanallah. So then when it becomes like a whole mountain full of this, Allah will say, Dunak ibn Adam, here you go. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُشْبِعُكَ شَيْءٍ. Nothing is going to satisfy you, satiate you, quench you. So this Arabi, this desert Arab who was sitting there, he said, Ya Rasulullah, we don't find this except among the Qurayshis and the Ansaris. It's only the Qurayshi and the Ansari who do this, meaning crops. They're the Ashabu Zar. Right? فَأَمَّا نَحْنُ فَلَسْنَا بِأَصْحَابِ زَرْعٍ. We don't care about this. He was basically making a remark that you're mentioning that some people may want this, they may want to do farming there. He says, we don't care about that kind of stuff. They are Bedouins, they move around. They can't grow things, right, in the middle of the desert. They just about find water. But these are the people in Makkah, these are the Qurayshis and the Ansaris, you know, generally from the Makkah and from Medina. They do this kind of stuff. So they're probably the ones who are going to ask this kind of question. Imam Bukhari is also in Kitab al-Tawheed has related some of this. This proves that in Jannah there is going to be, you can grow things. And you can have seeds there. And of course, it's the best and most fertile land to grow this, that will grow instantly. Subhanallah. I mean, can you imagine that this is what these big companies are trying to do? Where if it could just grow like this? Subhanallah. You know, Northampton in this country was the place where shoes are made. It was traditionally where, I think 33% of the people living in Northampton about 100, 200 years ago used to make shoes. Some of the best shoes were made there, right? Now, one pair of shoes would take about 7-8 hours to make, cutting and this and that. It would take about 7-8 hours. So in one day, how many shoes can you make? One, maybe 1.5 pairs if you work overtime, right? Now there are companies in England that churn out several thousand shoes every day. Right? Because it's just so much faster with a little machine, everything. Where are they trying to get to, you know? And here in Jannah, they're saying, you want to do crops? Yes, no problem. Farming you want to do? It's going to be so fertile. Everything is so well tuned that it's just going to grow. Probably the only hadith that seems to mention this. It may be like just some kind of a quirk that somebody had that he wants to mention, or maybe the Prophet ﷺ just mentioned it, that that's also a possibility, just show what's available. Why would somebody want to do farming when none of it needs to be done, where everything can be ready without it? That's the question some people are asking. There's another narration from Ikrimah. He says that while a person is in Jannah, he's going to say to himself, if Allah gives me permission, I want to do some farming. Now, nobody knows about this except the angels that are at his door. They will say, Salamun alayk, your Lord has told you, Tamannayta fi nafsika shay'an, faqad alimtuhu. You have wished for something in your heart. We know about it. I know about it. And the seeds have been sent with us already, the angels say. So he will do it. Or he will say, okay, put the seeds out. And immediately they will grow like mountains. Allah will then say from above the arsh, Kul yabna Adam, eat now. Is what you want to do? Now eat from it. The human never is satiated. The human is never quenched. He always wants to do more. He's been given all of this, he still wants to do more. He's never quenched. What a weird creation of Allah. You know, human beings, they always want more. So alhamdulillah, that discusses all of the plants and fruits of Jannah. And inshallah, the next time it will be about the rivers of Jannah and the streams of Jannah. We'll discuss that next time, inshallah. Wa akhir da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.